Now I'm going to bring a message today from the book of John, chapter 5. John chapter 5. If you want to follow in your Bible, you open it now to the 5th chapter of John. I'm going to do like I did last week and go verse by verse, almost phrase by phrase, through several verses of this 5th chapter of John. Someone has written many years ago that the theme of Matthew's writings is Jesus Christ, Son of David, King of the Jews. That seems to be the theme through the book of Matthew. And the theme through the book of Mark is Jesus Christ, the servant. Mark presents Christ as the servant. And then the book of Luke, the theme of Luke's writing seems to be Jesus Christ, Son of Man. But John's gospel has a definite theme. The gospel of John, the writings of John, set forth Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He starts out that way. He says in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word, the Son of God, was made flesh. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth." And here in John 5, the Master Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, so clearly reveals Himself as the Son of the Father, the Son of God. It's so clear He reveals Himself as the Son of God. And then when He reveals Himself, His office, His attributes, His character, and the proof of it, then He brings 6 serious charges against all unbelief. And I want to get to that in this message. I'm going to show you a few things, the proof of it, and then I'm going to get to these 6 solemn and serious charges that He brings against unbelief. But now open your Bible there to John 5 and look at verse 17 and 18. John 5, 17, and the Lord Jesus speaking here, He says, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." My Father works, and I work. In other words, the work of redemption. What is the work of the Father? The work of redemption. Covenant mercies. The kingdom of God. That's the work of God. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So this work, He says, my Father's work is my work. I must be about my Father's business. My Father's work is my work. The work of the Father and the work of the Son are one because I and my Father are one. All right, look now at verse 21. And He said, "As the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them." This is spiritual life. This is quickening of sinners from dead. A deadness in sin. You have to quicken who were dead in trespasses and sin. And He said, "As the Father quickeneth the dead and giveth them life, even so the Son quickens and gives life to whom He will." Salvation, the new birth, spiritual life, is the work of God. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation, the new birth, spiritual life, is by the will of the Father. We're born not by the will of the flesh or the will of man, but by the will of God. And the new birth is by the will of God. Spiritual life is the work and the will of God. He said, "I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful." And He said, "My Father quickeneth the dead, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will." Look at verse 22. And the Father, He said, "The Father works and I work. The Father has power to give life. I have power to give life. The Father hath committed all judgment to the Son." All judgment. He said, the Father judgeth no man, verse 22, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. In other words, I hate to use the word fate, but the fate of every human being is in the hands of Jesus Christ. God has committed all judgment, all righteousness, all final authority into the hands of Jesus Christ. That's what he says here. The Father judgeth no man, but he hath committed all judgment to the Son. The Father loveth the Son and hath put all things in his hands. In John 17, he said this in verse 2, thou hast given me authority over all flesh. Everything, the kingdom, the covenant, the creature, is in the hands of Christ. Everything's in his hands. God hath appointed a day in which he'll judge the world by that man Jesus Christ whom he hath appointed. And he hath given proof of it in that he raised him from the dead. In other words, I'm saying this, and this is what Christ is saying. Where a man stands in the judgment depends on his relationship to Jesus Christ. How a man stands in the judgment, what a man meets up with in the judgment, all depends upon whether he's in Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you see what he's saying? The Master reveals himself as the Son of God. He said, my Father works, I work. The work of the Father is the work of the Son. My Father quickeneth whom he will. My Father giveth life, raiseth up the dead whom he will. Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And the Father judgeth no man. He has committed all judgment to the Son. In other words, before whom will we stand at the judgment? Before Christ, all judgment's in his hand. It's the Lamb on the throne. It's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and the Lamb in the midst of the throne as it had been slain. That's Christ, all authority in heaven and earth. And then verse 23, he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father who sent him. There's no way to honor the Father if you don't honor the Son. They're one. My Father works, I work. My Father quickens the dead, I quicken the dead. My Father judges no man. I'm the judge. My Father hath committed all judgment to me. And he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that sent him. No man knows God except the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Have you ever seen God? No man has seen God at any time, the Scripture says. He dwells in a light to which no man can approach. Well, who has seen him? The Son. Well, how can we see him? He that seeth the Son. That's what he told his disciples. I and my Father one. He that seeth me seeth the Father. He that knoweth me knoweth the Father. No man can honor, worship, or please God except by faith in, love for, and devotion to his Son. That's what it says right here. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father who sent him. It's literally, absolutely, biblically impossible to know God apart from Jesus Christ. He's the revelation of God. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Now look at verse 24. My, what awesome claims, and yet claims that are true. In verse 24, and he says, and he that heareth my word, my Father works, I work. My Father gives life to whom he will, Son gives life to whom he will. My Father judgeth no man, all judgment's in my hands. And he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father. And he says here, and he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me, he prepared me a body. Thou hast prepared me a body, he said. Lo, I come in the volume of the book it's written of me to do thy will, O my Father. by the which will we're sanctified once for all by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. The Father prepared him a body. The Father sent him into the world. The Father gave him a work to do. The Father commissioned and anointed him as the Christ, the Redeemer of sinners. And he said, he that believeth, heareth my word, and believes on him that sent me, Jehovah God, just God and Savior, he has everlasting life. That person that hears me, these words, and believes on him that sent me, and to believe on the Father is to believe on the Son, to believe on the Son is to believe on the Father, they're one. He has right now, he hath, H-A-T-H. One old country preacher says that spells got it. He got it. He hath everlasting life. And watch, and shall never come into condemnation. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, and there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ, because he's already passed from death to life. You see that in verse 24? For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now, my friends, these are awesome claims, aren't they? This man, Jesus Christ, said, I'm one with God. I give eternal life to whom I will. I have all authority, all judgment in heaven and earth, all control over all things. If a man doesn't honor me, he can't know God. If a man doesn't believe on me and hear me and follow me, he'll perish forever. But if he does believe me, he'll have life everlasting. No man ever spoke like that. You know, messiahs have come and gone. There's been a lot of messiahs. There's been a lot of religious prophets and religious leaders. And they've come and gone, these messiahs, and have set forth ways and means and works and system of morality by which men can find peace and find their way to God and find happiness. But this man, Jesus Christ, he actually says, he doesn't say, I'll show you how to get to God. He says, come to me, I am God. He doesn't say, I'll show you a way by which you can earn life. He said, believe on me, I am life. And he says, all who do not know me and love me and believe me will perish. Now, I ask this question. On what authority and by what reasons am I to believe the claims of Jesus Christ? Well, look at verse 31. This is interesting. Our Lord adds, when he made all these claims, when he revealed his character and his attributes, his oneness with the Father, his power and authority, he added, now, verse 31, if I bear witness of myself and only my word, you have only my word for these claims, then my witness is not true. What's he saying? He's saying what the Bible says all the way through. Let every word be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. So our Lord said, if I don't have witnesses to back up what I claim, then my witness is not to be heeded, not to be heard. Well, who are the witnesses? Well, he starts giving them. Look at verse 32, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he said, bore witness of me. He was the forerunner. He was the miraculous son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. He was sent to bear witness of Christ. He's the last of the Old Testament prophets. He's the forerunner, John the Baptist. Miraculously conceived, miraculously born, filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. The last of the Old Testament prophets. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ, Son of God. To him give all the prophets witness. John the Baptist bore witness of me. And then verse 36, he said, the works that I do bear witness of me. The works that I do. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dead live. I'm not talking about this foolishness going on today about all these faith healers claiming to have the power to break crutches. And when our Lord healed a man, he walked. When our Lord gave sight to the blind, they saw. When our Lord touched the coffin of that dead man, he lived. Lazarus came forth from the grave. It wasn't put on like you're seeing today. It wasn't that sort of thing. Nicodemus said no man could do what you do except God be with him. And then he noticed this, verse 37. He said, the Father hath borne witness of me. At his birth, God hung a star over a manger and sent the angels down to announce his birth to the shepherds. At his baptism, God spake from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. At his transfiguration, the Father spoke again and said, this is my Son, hear him. At his death, the sun refused to shine. The veil in the temple was rent in twain. The rocks quaked. The dead rose. At his resurrection, the angels came down and stood at his open tomb and said to the disciples, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. At his ascension, God sent the angels again, and they said to the disciples, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Yes, the Father, he said, hath borne witness of me. That's three witnesses. Three powerful witnesses. John the Baptist, all the Old Testament prophets. The works that he did. The Father himself. And then he says, the Scriptures testify of me. Bear witness. Testify, bear witness. You find anyone, anywhere, who fulfills every picture, every type, every pattern of the Old Testament, you find the Messiah. And he did. Every seed of woman, seed of Abraham, root of Jesse, tribe of Judah, son of David, born in Bethlehem, Passover lamb, rock smitten, serpent lifted up, lion of the tribe of Judah, Passover, tabernacle, priesthood. He is indeed the prophet, priest, and the king, Christ Jesus. But, and here's the third part of the message. In the face of all these claims, our Lord Jesus Christ, I and my Father one, as the Father quickeneth the dead, Son quickeneth the dead, all judgment in my hands. He that heareth me, believeth on me, hath life. And then the witnesses, John the Baptist, the Old Testament prophets, the Father, the works he did, the Scriptures, undeniable witnesses. In the face of all these claims and certain proof of these claims by these very powerful witnesses, men did not and do not believe on him. They did not then. They do not now. And therefore, he then brings six serious charges against unbelief. Now he tells us who he is and what he did and why he did it. He tells us about the witnesses, clear witnesses, undeniable witnesses. But they still said, crucify him. We'll not have this man reign over us. And so he brings six serious charges against unbelief. Now here they are. He's talking to religious people now. He's not talking to the harlots and the drunks and the publicans. He's talking to religious folks. And he says in verse 39, now watch these six serious charges. He said, all right, you search the Scriptures. You're busy studying the Bible, no question about it. These men who were listening to him, they were scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and lawyers. They were searching the Scriptures, studying the Scriptures, teaching the Scriptures. For he said, in them, that is, in the Scriptures, you think you have life. But they are they which testify of me. There's no life in the Bible. Life's in Christ. I have great love for the Word of God. I have great gratitude for the Word of God. The Bible is God's Word, but eternal life's not in the Bible. Eternal life's in Christ. The Bible didn't die for me. The Bible wasn't buried and rose again. Christ was buried and rose again. He bore my sins in his body on the tree. There's no life in the law. There's no life in the ceremonies. There's no life in a knowledge of the Bible. Somebody says, I know my Bible, but do you know him of whom the Bible speaks? These fellows knew the Bible too. Life is in the Son of God. It's not in the Bible. Christ said, you read the Bible, you quote the Bible, you study the Bible, you search the Bible. But they are they which testify of me, and you won't come to me. You see, if a man reads the Bible and does not come to understand who Christ is and what Christ did and why Christ did it, that God may be just and justified, and where Christ is, then he's read the Bible in vain. He's read it to no avail. He searched it in vain. And that's what he's saying to these people. You search the Scriptures. You know about the feast and the laws and the tabernacle and the priesthood and all these ceremonies and ordinances and baptism and Lord's table and all, but do you know him? Do you know Christ? The Bible testifies of Christ. Now watch the second charge. Verse 40. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Now, one thing is clear from the earlier Scriptures. The Son of God is life. The Son of God has life in himself, and the Son of God gives life. If I want a drink of water, I've got to go to the fountain where the water is. And if a man's going to have life, he's going to have to go where life is. He's going to have to go to him who is life. There are people who come to a church. They'll come to the front of the church. They'll come to an altar. They'll come to a denomination. They'll come to a feast. They'll come to a law. They'll come to a system of doctrine. They'll come to an experience, but they won't come to Christ. That's what's astounding. You will not come to me. These are serious charges. He says, you're searching the Scriptures. You're studying the Bible. You're memorizing the Bible. But the Bible testifies of me. The Bible's a hymn book, H-I-M. It's Christ. And you won't come to me that you might have life. Life's in a person. What is it to come to Christ? You say, well, he says you won't come to me. What is it to come to Christ? He said, no man can come to me except my Father draw him. Well, what is it to come to Christ? Well, it's to recognize him for who he is. It's to address myself to him. Not to one of his preachers or soul winners or counselors or somebody on a telephone. Go to him. It's to address myself to him as he is, as I am. It's to look away from everything else and everyone else and look to Christ alone. Look to me, he said, and be saved. It's to look to him and believe on him. And it's to keep on coming to him. Keep on coming to him. But you won't do it, he said. You'll go to a preacher, you'll go to the front, you'll come out of the balcony, you'll go to these big meetings and stream down to the front while they sing Just As I Am. You'll go down there to a preacher or go to the front or go to a bench or go to a counselor. They don't have salvation. They don't have life. He said, you won't come to me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, Christ said. Here's the third charge. You don't have the love of God in you, verse 42. You have not the love of God in you. We got a lot of love of self in us, haven't we? A lot of love for this world in us. Men love darkness rather than light. We got a love for natural life, but not the love of God. What is the love of God? Well, it's the gift of God. It's shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Spirit. It's a love for God. It's to love God as God is. It's to love God as he's revealed in his word. It's to love the true and living God. It's a sympathetic and compassionate love for others. It's the fruit of the Spirit of God. It's the love of God. You don't have the love of God in you. You've got love for self, but no love. That's the reason he told us to love others if we love ourselves, because we sure love ourselves. But the love of God is a love for God. It's a love of God. It's a love from God. Here's the fourth charge. I'm come in my Father's name, he said. I come in my Father's name. I come to reveal the Father, to manifest the Father. The Father sent me. I come to redeem a people. And you won't receive me. You receive me not. If another comes in his own name, you'll receive him. Oh, I tell you, people are quick to receive error. The more phony a con man preacher is, the more people are following. That's right. It's so sad in this day. People will accept so-called philosophers, religionists, and every voice on the block. But Christ said, you won't come to me. I come in my Father's name, and you won't come to me. You won't receive me. Let another come in his own name, and him you will receive. What's the fifth charge? You seek not the honor that comes from God only. You'd rather have the honor and applause of the world. I tell you, the temporary honors and riches and applause of this world mean more to people than the favor of God Almighty. If we can just see our name in the paper or our face on television or some recognition some way, get more money, more riches, more status, more this, that, and the other, we seek honor that comes from me, and it's a fading, perishing honor. And we seek not the honor that comes from God. That's a serious charge. And then last of all, verse 46 and 47, he said, you believe not the writings of Moses. Had you believed Moses, you'd believe me. Moses wrote of me. Oh, we'll quote Moses, but we don't believe him. Just like preachers, I hear them quoting Luther and Calvin and Spurgeon. They don't believe what those men preached. And we quote Moses, but we don't believe him. Moses wrote of Christ. Now, if you want this message, it's called Six Charges Against Unbelief, John chapter 5. And the one I brought last week on the shepherd of the sheep, write for it. Send $2. Here's the address. Until next week, may God bless you, everyone.